Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 18. In verse 35, the psalmist says to God, "You have given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You have enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip." This is your life. Yes, this was the experience of the psalmist, but this is also our experience. God does not say, well, this person's going to get this good thing from me, but this person will not. It doesn't work that way with God. God is out to give everybody the same kind of love, the same kind of blessing. God is out to give everybody the fullest of what He has if they will receive it from Him. And the psalmist very often did. He said there, "You've given me the shield of your salvation." That means you've given me complete protection in everything. By virtue of me being saved, I have complete protection from God in everything. It doesn't matter whether it's big or small, God is going to protect me in everything. And people might say, well, then why do bad things happen sometimes? That's a legitimate question, but you don't understand often what is a bad thing. You don't relate to things as good or bad according to the way they feel, because the way they feel is produced by a very narrow and limited understanding. So we don't worry about how things feel. We trust God in everything, and by trusting God, there's nothing that becomes really too difficult for us. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul said when he was going through some very difficult things, God told him, "My grace is sufficient for you," and that means very sufficient, abundantly will take care of you, "and my strength is made perfect in your weakness." What he's saying there is, when I'm weak, God is strong on my behalf. Imagine if you fall down, but God will go all around you to make sure that you're protected and to get you back up. That's the kind of a picture we're looking at. And so, he says, "You are the shield of my salvation. You are my complete protection." And then he continues, "Your right hand has held me up." Very often in the Bible, when you hear about right hand, you hear about strength. That's what it's talking about. The right hand of God is referring to the strength and authority of God. So by God's strength, and He has more strength than anybody can even possibly imagine, and by God's authority, and He has absolute authority over absolutely everything, He has complete authority, He holds me up with that strength and authority. So what can go wrong for me when God is holding me up with His strength and His authority? And then it continues, "Your gentleness has made me great." It wasn't the law of Moses that made David great. It was God's character toward David. And David is the psalmist here. God's character is what makes a person great. God's mercy toward us is what makes us great. The fact that God forgives us is what makes us great. The fact that God is kind to us is what makes us great. The fact that God is gentle with us, He's never harsh toward us, He's never impatient with us, that's what makes us great. And then he continues, "You've enlarged my path under me." That is an amazing thing, because sometimes, just because we're humans, just because we're people, no fault of our own, we end up in situations where we don't know what we should do, or how we should act, or what we should think, what's the right decision. That's not always clear to us. Sometimes it is, but not always. Enlarging the path means that God gives me all kinds of room. If I make a mistake, God doesn't hold it against me. He gives me the room to make my mistake so that He can pick me back up again. He doesn't want me to make a mistake. But even if I do make a mistake, He gives me the room to do it. He will not be impatient with me. He will not abandon me. He will not say, okay, your problem, not mine. You take care of it. That's not how it works with God. God will always be faithful no matter where I find myself. Even if it's my own fault, He will be faithful and kind because He enlarges the place where I'm standing. My path is enlarged under me. That means even if I wobble around, even if I fall down, even if I get things wrong, He still is going to be great on my behalf. He's still going to hold me up with His strength and with His authority. He'll still protect me. He'll still take care of me. And He will still be there for me. And then it says, so that my feet did not slip. This is one of the most amazing things about God, that His mercy toward us, and some people think His mercy toward us will allow them to sin. It's exactly the opposite. His mercy toward us does not keep me from sinning, but His mercy toward us is why we don't want to sin. His mercy toward us is actually that very thing that God gives me to keep me right with Him. Now, in the natural way of doing things, that might not immediately make sense, but this is how God works. Remember, in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, God's thoughts are far above our thoughts, and His ways are far above our ways. And so when God is merciful to us, that's the very thing that keeps us right with God. When God is forgiving of us, that's the very thing that makes us not want to sin. When God is kind to us, that's the very thing that draws us to Him and keeps us from wanting to walk away from Him. It makes us great. Now, in Romans 8:29, we are called, and it has been predetermined ahead of time, that we are to be conformed, changed to the image of Christ. Now, that's a hard thing. God wants us to think the way He thinks. He wants us to possess His thoughts, His love, His character, His mercy, His grace. He wants us to possess His gentleness. God wants us to possess all the things that He is, and He wants that to be a part of us. That's what it means there, that we've been predetermined to be conformed to the image of His Son, of Christ. In 1 John 4:16, God is love. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is first patient, and then it is kind, and then verses 4 through 7 gives several more characteristics of love, but it all comes out of those first two characteristics. God is patient and God is kind. And everything that follows comes out of patience and kindness. God wants us to be conformed to love. In other words, God wants it to be completely natural and normal for us to love. I don't mean affection. Like and love have nothing to do with each other. Sometimes people confuse the two. Like is an emotion. Love is not. Love is an action. Now, the emotions may respond to it, but love in and of itself is not an emotion. It's actually a mental action and then an outward action. And so, God conforms us. He turns us into this love. That's why in the first three verses of 1 Corinthians 13, it points out that if you don't have love, you're nothing. But if you have love, you're everything. In Matthew 23:11, the Bible says, "He that is greatest among you will be your servant." Now, sometimes you say that and people imagine, you know, a little servant, somebody in their little servant outfit. doing whatever, washing the car or trimming the grass or taking care of the house. Yes, those are things where people serve, but it's really a very simple and incomplete definition. A servant is not just somebody who'll do your dishes. No. Matthew 20:28, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. What was his point of service? He came to love people. He came to seek and save those people who walked away from him. And in Jeremiah 31:3, he finds them and he looks for them and he saves them by his love and by his kindness. So if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, the greatest among you will be the person who loves like God loves. Because that person has the character of God, who is greater than God. Sometimes it's funny, you see this occasionally. Somebody will have to do something for somebody else, a kindness for somebody else, and they get all upset that they have to do somebody a kindness. Well, I have to take care of this for you. You should have taken care of this yourself. How stupid is that? You have the opportunity for a moment of greatness and you complain? Are you serious? Do you have any idea at all what's going on? But people do it all the time. Well, I had to do that for them. Yeah, God gave you the opportunity for greatness so that you could show somebody some kindness. Don't complain that God gives you the chance to be great. How many people spend their life working very, very hard, taking all their time up, let's say, to be the best Olympic skater or skier or runner in the world? Okay, fine, but what does that really amount to in life? And it's a moment of greatness in skiing or running or whatever. But God says, I give you the opportunity to be great in the kingdom of God that never ends. No skier skis all their life. No runner runs all their life. No football player plays football all their life. But God says, I give you the opportunity in the kingdom of God, which is eternal, to be great forever. That is incredible. And how do we do it? We love. That's how we do it. We love. Because He's love. In 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If God is patient and kind to me, be patient and kind to other people. Why? Because it's the same thing. I can't have God be patient and kind to me without me being patient and kind to others. Think of it this way. God gives you a box filled with patience and kindness. You either possess the box or you don't. If you possess the box, that patience and kindness extends toward you and everybody else. It's just you possess the box of patience and kindness. You either have it or you don't. It doesn't pick and choose. You either have patience and kindness, you have the love of God, or you don't. If you have it, it doesn't say, well, I'm going to go in that way, but I'm not going that way. No, if you have it, it goes all over the place. It goes toward you. It goes toward your family. It goes toward people around you. It even goes to people that don't get along with you. It goes all over the place because it is a huge box of patience and kindness, and that is the love of God. Patience and kindness is the love of God. Owe no man anything, no one. Don't owe anybody anything in Romans 13:8 except to love them. That's the only thing you owe to people. Why? Because God loves you. By the way, that starts with you. You owe it to yourself because God gave it to you to be patient and kind to yourself. You owe it to other people to be patient and kind with them because God gave it to you. That means if you make a mistake, You're not impatient with yourself. You don't get condemned. You don't beat yourself up. You don't say, oh, how stupid am I? You don't get a bad self-image. No, you receive God's patience and kindness to yourself. You owe that patience and kindness to yourself. Also, at the same time, you owe it to everybody else. It's like that box. It doesn't pick and choose who the love goes to. The love goes everywhere. It's like sitting in an ocean in the middle of it and saying, well, there's only water in front of me, but there's none behind me. Well, that's weird. You're sitting in an ocean of the love of God. That's reality. You don't pick and choose where it goes because it goes where it wants to go. That's how it works. You either have it or you don't have it. And if you're going to be great in the kingdom of God, you will have it. Why? Because you look for it. You go after it. Matthew 6 says you seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of grace in Hebrews 4:16. And the first expression of the grace of God is patience, and the second one is kindness, because it's the product of His love. So, in all things, you look for love for yourself, you look for love for other people, and then you will be their servant, which is the very thing that will make you amazingly great, because that's what made God amazingly great, and you'll have the same thing. You guys understand that? All right, that's it for today.